Hello and welcome back to Sentient Souls with Josh and Tony. I'm Josh.
And I'm Tony.
And we are heading into our part two of our vulnerability mini series. Literally, this is the second part.
Because there's more to say.
We have a lot. After the first discussion that we were getting into, we realized that this clearly,
Is a theme.
yeah, and it's probably going to be one where we can elaborate a little further and hash out a little more than we had originally thought of.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, yes, and I'm curious to hear more about what you think about vulnerability because it's like if this life was a video game, this is so the level
Right. Yeah,
that
exactly.
I'm on. Okay, so I recently got a new part-time job, but the thing is, it's not too new because I've been here before. At this workplace. I really love this place. It actually has a really great team, lots of educated and intelligent individuals that are super inspiring. So it really means a lot for me to have this like community and structure in this community after like not having it for a while. I was gone from this place for about 2 years. It honestly felt like 1 year for me, given the pandemic, it kind of warped the feeling of time or perception of time a little, but yeah, sometimes it felt slow, sometimes it felt fast, but so I'm back now. But being back at this place, it helped me like learn about how I was feeling before when I was last at that workplace, and I was so stressed like before I would.
So give us a little bit more about what you were struggling with when you were
Okay.
there the first time, so we can
Okay.
get some background
Oh,
info.
amazing. Yeah. Good question. Okay, so my workplace is at this vision therapy clinic. They specialize in developmental vision therapy to help patients integrate their vision in their everyday life. Sometimes you're born with deficiencies. Like one eye is stronger than the other. Sometimes you have an eye turning in, an eye turning out. There's the thing with dyslexia, and when you can't really read as well or comprehend what you're reading, or if you're like an adult and you got a traumatic brain injury and then your vision is impaired, that's the thing.
So
Like,
pretty much eye struggles. If you're dealing
yeah,
with an eye struggle, you go to this place.
sure, yep.
Okay.
And they work on helping you develop it because your eyes are connected to your brain, like amazing stuff. But anyway.
Yeah, they're pretty valuable objects.
And so I never thought that I would be in a medical job or position because like in middle school, high school, I was like confronting how my parents had that expectation for me in order to be successful. And to be honest, like I felt like I took those in and I really took it as like I have to do it seems like I have to be like a lawyer, a doctor, or something to be seen as successful and to be loved or appreciated. So I really had to dive into that world. And I never thought I would actually willingly take on a medical job or position, but I
Would
did.
you say, like, from my perspective, were you against it because they were pushing you so hard? You know
I
what I
think
mean?
so, yeah, for sure. Because I felt like I was rejected to some extent. Like I was not good enough to be who I really was. I had to just forget about all of that and do this. So yeah, I would say that that did affect me. But okay, so I had already graduated college at this time when I got this job in like 2018, 2019, 2 to 3 years ago. So at that point, it was a willing decision. I was like, I'm open to this. I actually feel like it really lines up with how I do dog training in a sense that I do work on developmental behavior and seeing results through a certain program, and you get it. But okay, so getting to the thing, the thick of it is I'd never been in like a professional medical position, so I put a lot of pressure on myself to really perform and see results with patients. And so I had my self-consciousness come in. Like what I mean is I was trained, that was great, everything was provided to for me, but I still felt not good enough. Like so much so that I felt like I really like wow, okay, so now I'm a vision therapist. There's so much to learn, so much to understand about this field, about all the different parts of the eye, how it works with our processing, our brain, and all this stuff. I felt like I just needed to be the best for my patients, and I knew I was just starting out. So then I was very like hard on myself in a sense that like I really just wanted to study all the time. So even when I was at home, I couldn't really like find separation from work because I did find that I was thinking mm-hmm. about my patients that I would see the next day mm-hmm. because I was really concerned about their development.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find, I didn't have boundaries. Like I couldn't know when was a good time. I felt kind of guilty if I wasn't
right doing the work.
Yes, exactly. Right. And that kind of touches off what we talked about when you were like,
right, the guilt and shame, the suffering that comes or, from putting the needs of others before you.
Yeah. And so that's why I was like, ooh, this is kind of like a dangerous hole. I could have kept going deeper and deeper. And I really felt like it was like taking all of me because yeah, I wanted to give all of myself to that. So now, second time around, I decided that actually maybe doing a different
role
would be better.
Okay.
That when I look back at how I was being really hard on myself, I just felt self-conscious. I didn't feel good enough. And I had to see that I was fine the way I was, that I was just starting. There was going to be a process. I can't be like perfect.
So your perception there uh-huh. was pretty set. You had like an idea
yeah.
of how you needed to be
yeah.
and what you needed to do.
Uh-huh.
And there was no real like other option pretty much. And right now you're diving into how that changed. Take a step back.
Yeah.
And see.
Okay. Yeah.
You were like being pushed, almost like you were being pushed out so much so because you were like out of your comfort zone. And then at this point you were so tired and so over what you were doing internally
yeah.
that when the next opportunity came for you, you kind of just grabbed it and went with it because you were like, yes. I mean, clearly it was better for you, but money or whatever. But
I'm glad that you're asking me this question. Yeah. And that really is the truth. And I couldn't. Okay. And so here's where the vulnerability part comes in. Okay. I had such a great and supportive team. Like I said, everyone there is so intelligent, yeah. so supportive. They were so supportive of me. I felt like I couldn't say I'm struggling.
This what is, you needed. Yeah.
This is kind of difficult for me. And even if I open up to them, this is what I'm doing. If I said more clearly, like yeah. I did tell them a little bit and they're like, we want to support you. You don't have to feel this way. But I overcompensated. Sure. I didn't want them to know that I right. felt that way. So I actually worked even harder in it to try to kind of like, because right. I felt like everybody seemed really like chill, like they could take it. Sure. And I knew that I kind of was like the only one really struggling, but I didn't know how to like ask, maybe like speak about it. I didn't know how to ask for assistant or support. I just kind of like went more into like overdrive. And that's how I knew it just wasn't sustainable for me after a certain part.
Mm, yeah.
And when things shifted a bit, and I could like, just do a different,
take a step back pretty much.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's why I knew that I had to do that at the time.
But what was the fear? I guess I'm curious to know what
being vulnerable, I think.
Oh
my God.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like you weren't there. You were at that level of the game that you are right now.
Yeah.
When you say you're, oh, okay.
And then, crazy. Yeah. Yeah. No. And I did that for a really long time. Like oh my gosh, like, it was really changing me. Okay. Coming back again.
Yeah, full circle.
So now after I've matured a little bit and grown and learned about like boundaries and my capabilities and communicating clearly about what I can do and what I can't do.
Sure.
What I can do, what I can't do, and not taking it as personally. But now that I'm back, I have decided that given my situation and what I need, I need to be able to be clear with myself and not go into like a bottomless pit of where I can just like keep working and working.
Okay.
I just realized that I was just too hard on myself. I was the one that was, and I didn't even have to be.
Okay.
And like now that I'm there, I realize like there's always something you're not gonna know, and there's always more that you can learn, but you don't need to take that as like a personal like
affront.
Yes. Okay. And that means like maybe I'm just less, like, you know,
if
you're not less
how do you see yourself integrating while you're working at this new place?
That's a great question. I never saw that boundaries could be a vulnerable thing. I actually, when you hear the word boundaries, that sounds like this is where I draw the line.
Right.
And that sounds like a very like strict, assertive thing. But I actually realized that boundaries can also be a soft science, because I don't have to be like
Yeah, it doesn't have to be confrontation. Yeah. There's still love and kindness.
I could still respect my own boundaries and still show up even stronger and be a better team player because I'm more aware of what I can do and what I can't do. And it's funny because, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. Right. I surely feel that now I could see that. But regardless, I'm still happy to have another chance and be where I'm at presently and be a fresher, new version of myself.
I felt the same way where, like, boundaries are just like, this is the cutoff zone. And if you're going to push my boundary, it's confrontation. It's like do or die kind of situation.
Where did we get that idea from?
I have no idea. And literally, I just remember being like, oh, well, I'm going to be the pusher then. I'm going to be the one that if, you know, I'm not going to wait for someone to push onto my boundary for me to, you know, get something done or make things happen for myself. I'm going to be the one that pushes onto your boundary because I need to be ready. I'm on alert. I need to get things done. And at the same time, realizing now as I've developed and as I'm growing that when I do that, it's aggressive. Yeah. When I do that, it does create confrontation. And when I do
and
that
conflict.
And conflict. Yeah. And when I do that, it can make other people feel uncomfortable
and not safe to
not
be
safe,
vulnerable.
Yeah.
And then they're being assertive.
Exactly. Or they take
frustrated.
Things personally because they don't realize that it's not really, you know, it's more about how I'm perceiving the situation versus how they're perceiving it. Or, you know, if there even is conflict, protecting yourself to that extent can be damaging in that conflict resolution when you really want to de-escalate the situation. And that's even something that I realized currently. So I'm in this like really weird living situation and with my roommate right now, we have these really, we've been trying to set new boundaries for ourselves. And I noticed that he's been taken aback by the way that I've responded to him and has been treating me a little bit softer and not so personally attacked. You know, he was going out to walk his dog and I had asked him if he could walk my dog in this situation. And he said no to me, very abruptly, very upset. You could just tell he was like not in the mood to have a conversation with me whatsoever. Granted, it was like later in the day, it was nighttime. And I was taken aback because I had this expectation that he would help me out in this situation. But in that moment, I was processing and I was taking, you know, time to really understand that maybe this really, you know, he's clearly in like upset about something and I'm clearly taking this personally, which I shouldn't. And I was able to really, in that moment, address what I needed for myself and not take it too personal and be able to move on. And when we reconvened the next morning, he was able to talk to me about it and we didn't really escalate the situation. It was very much, he was very understanding of where I was coming from and I was very understanding of where he was coming from. When in other situations, it wouldn't be that way because we would get so upset at each other or there would be a lot of like either pride or some sort of, no desire to be vulnerable with one another.
And just being
We were more so really hitting that boundary and we were like,
I'm on guard.
I'm not breaking this boundary.
Yeah, and he on guard.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not breaking his boundary. And we were just like two rocks hitting onto each other. There was this moment where I was deciding to soften up and be a bubble. He was able to come in as a rock and it was still harsh for me because I still took it some sort of way. I was still upset in some way of like the way that he treated me. I was still able to address and be clear with myself, like you mentioned earlier, be really clear with myself, be really, really vulnerable with myself, address what I needed to, and then move on and be completely fine. Up to the point where when we did have the discussion the next day, he was the one that was upset and he was the one that was having an issue still. So that when we finally addressed it, he could see that I was this, you know, being a soft, you know, gooey marshmallow.
Sure.
And he
about
was still
it.
The rock.
Right.
And it was crazy. The whole thing was that as he noticed that I was being this ooey gooey marshmallow, I could see it in his face. He like lightened up. He kind of backed down and became a marshmallow himself and was like, oh, then here's how I propose we can help each other in this situation.
And that's how I think a supportive like community or relationship should be. And that's so funny because I really feel like my workplace is that for me. Yeah. But if I wasn't able to do that myself, then how could I receive that? And that also, that takes
for
us
myself.
From,
yeah,
that takes us from the topic of vulnerability. So we talked about vulnerability and we talked about boundaries. But now this is another subtopic under the tree of vulnerability. And that is giving and receiving also.
Yeah. Okay.
And I realized that I want to be the giver. I want to be the change maker. I want to be the manifester. I want to be the trailblazer. I want to be the one to give. That's the normal for me. But I also have been exploring vulnerability through giving and receiving recently.
Uh-huh.
Like, let's call that like the little level on the video game. And I've found that I have issues with receiving. Because I'm so identified, or I had been so identified as being more of like the manifester, the giver, the change maker, that I couldn't be the soft gooey marshmallow because I was so used to asserting myself in that way and finding like a perceived like sureness in that when there really isn't anything that we could be sure about except knowing that we are going to die at one point in life.
Sure.
So I think that like, that was how I was like choosing to live my life to a certain degree. But I realized that you can't, that I have to be willing to go soft or be softer and gentle.
Well, it's all about like asking for what you need in those moments, as we've discussed. And I think when you can take the time to really address what's going on internally, you can really soften up. I feel like when you're not doing that, you're not toughening up. When you're reacting,
go, slashing.
Yeah. When you, this was something that I even was like talking to with my roommate, where I was realizing that I'm so in the moment sometimes. And that's how I feel I should be, is in this moment and as present as possible.
Yeah.
That I don't realize I'm actually more so living my life more on autopilot in the moment and reacting to things than actually taking a step back and living in the moment through my awareness and being in the moment means it's not just about acting and reacting
on the time on one part of it,
like on the external, everything that's happening right to you. No,
it's, but having like a bigger picture,
having
view.
A bigger picture, yes,
right, because when you're, and then acting from that space,
exactly.
Because that's like where the true wisdom
is. Awareness, yeah. When you have little awareness over what's really going on, and
like
you're
a
just
narrow
reacting,
mindset, yeah,
and you're just, and
it's
you
like
think
the blinders,
you have everything taken care of, and you already know everything that you need to know, you're not allowing yourself to receive,
yeah,
you're only allowing yourself to push and give,
yeah,
and
that only gets you so far,
yeah, exactly. It reminds me of fucking Mean Girls. I'm a pusher, Katie. I push people, you know? What does that even mean? Are you drug pusher? Like, what the hell? No. Like,
yeah, no, for sure. I'm realizing that. And see, that's another programming or whatever, or conditioning that had been running in my life. And I think in Tony Part 2, 2.0, you know, yes, I had died, just like I've died many times. But I'm back again, and I'm happy to see that. See this, that I could work on being more vulnerable every day. I can work on being aware of my boundaries and knowing that that's not a assertive thing. It's not a violent thing to have them and respect them and be aware of them for yourself and for others. Actually being aware of boundaries and being able to communicate them shows that you can care about. And I think that's how you can really be there for someone.
Yeah, the big part of that for me in realizing how the boundaries are working is when you become that soft and when you become that vulnerable, mm-hmm. I guess you can say, it's scary because it makes you realize how much you're hurting in the process. And that's what I noticed is the biggest thing for me is noticing that it's still confrontation and it's still uneasy to talk about your boundaries and it's still going to be uneasy to create this this new, you know, like if you're upset about something or if you're, you know, feeling some type of way about your boundary being pushed, if you have one, that conversation isn't going to be easy. You know, a lot of times you still have to have the guts, the courage to really push that. And my other big thing here, the sub tweet, mm-hmm. but below all of this for me is having the choice to do so. And I believe that choice is so important here because we choose what we can work on and what we can do for ourselves. So you have the choice to react negatively to something. You have the choice to react positively to something. You always have a choice in your life. That's not something that goes away. You don't just pick up the phone when it rings because it's ringing. You decide, hey, do I really want to pick up this phone right now? Do I, whoever is calling you right now, it could be your mom, your dad, your uncle, is it someone you want to talk to? Do you have time? Are you pressed for something else? You have all of these things in your awareness.
And you can follow up if it's not a good time.
Exactly.
You can follow up at the best next time.
And that's your choice. Yeah. Your choice is maybe not right now.
Right.
Maybe, yes, I have the time. Yeah. Whatever it is, you decide it. And I think for me,
that's where the power is.
Exactly. There we go. She knows the words. That's where the power is. The power for you to really step into, the power for you to really be there for yourself is to make these decisions for yourself. Nobody else is making these decisions for you. And if you think they are, or if you think that you're helpless in this world because you can't make any decisions for yourself, then that's when the universe does push and does, you know, throws you into this idea where you other people to make choices for you because you're not doing it for yourself.
Sure. Like you might be operating as a victim in your storyline because you're not stepping into your own story.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But you're always the main character. You have to just remind yourself. I think that's, you know, there are all these practices that really need to be put into place to kind of like go on with your life. But that's like
what we're chewing on.
Yeah. And that's the easier said than done sort of situation.
It's
we can talk about this
the day to day of it, how exactly. It is, because we just discussed the concept, but wow, so there might be vulnerability part 3 in the everyday. This is what it looks like when you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you for joining us today and being here with us while we face our vulnerabilities. I'm Joshua.
And this is Tony, signing off until we connect next time.
Bye-bye.